Hi, I'm the self-development coach, Johnny Lawrence, and welcome to the Self-Development Podcast.
Affirmations are great, but like you've just said, if you are lying to yourself, you are effectively re-imprinting and reminding your memories and all of the part of you that is like this kind of Rolodex of information, just bad stuff. When you believe it, like you're saying, there's a truth to it, there's an authenticity to it, you get behind it. And on a scientific level, your brain is biased to negative, you know, past experiences. So you've got to dislodge some of those and create ones that go with your affirmation if you really want to, you know, manifest at warp speed and feel good and, you know, really hit home with what you're saying.
Today, I speak with the UK's leading tapper, Poppy Delbridge. Poppy is the host of the top 20 podcast, Rapid Tapping, and the author of the up and coming book, Tapping In, Manifest Your Life with the Transformative Power of Tapping. Tapping, or emotional freedom technique, EFT, as it's sometimes referred to, believes that tapping the body can create balance in the energy systems and treat pain. Poppy's coaching work revolves around making you the most authentic, abundant, and empowered person you can be on all levels. She's a popular speaker, ambassador, and in-house coach across global members clubs such as Soho House and Albright. And Poppy's clinically proven manifestation methodologies have been featured across publications such as The Telegraph, Red, The Sunday Times Style, Health and Wellbeing, The Evening Standard, and Stylist. Today, we intend to do a deep dive and to fully understand this incredibly powerful energy regulating technique. How are you today, Poppy?
I'm great. You can hear the sound of some seagulls. I'm in Cornwall by the sea.
I love that, because that is just the irony of us just finding out that we're actually not that far apart right now. You know,
I know.
You're in Foy and I'm somewhere in Truro, you know. It's a good job it's not live. I've just given away our locations.
Yeah, we'll pick up Truro.
Yeah, no, it's so funny that you're here. It's bizarre. It's funny how we didn't actually talk about that, but there you go.
Right.
Well, I mean, I find the whole like of us sort of being in contact a bit strange, because I'd heard a lot about EFT, but I'd never had any until literally a couple of weekends ago. And I'm converted, man. It is, I've not slept like I've slept recently in a very, very long time. And the power and the affirmations and all the stuff that came with it was just so, so incredible. It really was. So I'm really excited about this conversation and a bit spooked out that we sort of managed to find each other in that kind of strange way.
Love that. Synchronicity.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I mean, like, for those that might not have come across you yet, I mean, do you want to tell people a bit about yourself and your sort of journey so far?
Yeah. So my journey into what I do now is kind of long-winded, I suppose. I originally started working in creative, so in comedy and entertainment, actually, in TV. So I did that since I did uni for quite a long time. And then I quit back in 2018 to really just take on my passion of setting up this other part of me, which has been going a really long time since I was a little girl, really. And I focused then on doing more coaching, tapping work, working with people to kind of unleash parts of themselves that they haven't quite known about but felt. And sort of how do you do that? And my big technique that I found to be the best is something I've done myself for a decade, which is the tapping. And so, yeah, I'm a practitioner in that. Mainly, but then I kind of fuse a lot of other things in. So NLP, Reiki, really interested in energy work, manifesting, of course, is a big part of what I do.
But that's the vibe I got from you. You had like a whole toolbox of things, because I think it's like anything, isn't it? If you take it like metaphorically, if we're going to try and put up an IKEA cabinet, we very often need a whole selection of tools, if not a little bit of help from God to put it up, you know. But and I love that that's how you approach it. It's like, you know, you've got all these very powerful tools. I mean, all of those things you mentioned are powerful individually, but collectively and with the knowledge that I'm sure you've gained and when and where to use them, I'm sure that what you do is super powerful.
Mm. Yeah, it is, because it is, you know, unique to the person as well. You know, I say tapping, which I know we're going to talk about a lot, works for everyone I've ever met. But then there are other ways to kind of, you know, chime with people and get the best out of them. And if they've got big trauma, let's say, that comes up, there's a different set of tools than if you want to boost your energy every day and you know, just quite rapidly move into something that feels good for you, creates some happiness in your energy.
I tell you what was powerful for me during the tapping, and again, we'll talk about it in a minute for those that aren't quite sure what it is yet, but there's a set of affirmations that are discovered through careful questioning. And when I had to hear those affirmations and hear the situation in the cold, hard truth, what I was trying to accept, let's say, that is, it just brings everything into reality, you know, like you can't hide from anything anymore. You're facing it full on. And there's a bravery that comes with that. And the tapping for me was just, it was just, I'd never experienced anything like it. I really hadn't. And it's been so great, like I said, for my sleep. And I suppose the one thing it's helped me with, I could say, is letting go.
Okay.
Being able to let go of a few things that I'd just been keeping, you know, locked up for whatever reason.
Right.
You know, and that's sort of unblocked, if you would.
Nice. What, beliefs?
I suppose looking at things from an unhelpful perspective is the way I would put it.
Unhelpful.
You know? I don't like to use the word personally. I don't like to use negative and positive because I think sometimes it could be a bit judgy. But helpful and unhelpful, because even anger, which is something that I know a lot of men especially struggle with, anger has its place and it can be very helpful. It's also a lot of times where it's not, you know, like road rage, for example. So by saying anger is a negative emotion, it's like you do need that at some point.
Yeah, you need it. I like that. I actually say that in my book.
Oh, there you go.
I call it unhelpful and helpful beliefs and patterns.
Yeah.
So we don't take it out on ourselves, you know, and do that.
Well, it's very easy to get all judgy and go, oh, I'm so stupid, I'm doing that thing again that I do. And it's like, it doesn't have to be that way. You can be playful with it and go, oh, nearly got caught out again. You know, exactly.
That's what it's all about. Tweaking.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. There's no right or wrong. That's what I love about some of the stuff I've read that you've written is that, you know, you're very much saying like there's no right or wrong way of doing things. It's just the way at the time. And sometimes that isn't ideal. You know, sometimes you are going to still feel a bit sad about something.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes there are certain situations where sadness, anger, it's all normal. Something sad has happened. You know, you're okay. It's okay to feel sad. You know?
Yeah, because there's only so long. It's like a little pressure cooker, isn't it? As a champagne bottle. There's only so long that you can hold it in, pretend it's not there, do something else, you know. Mm. And I think what I found is that having an actual tangible technique like tapping to use when you don't know what to do or don't even necessarily know what the emotions are is very empowering, because without it, you're sort of trying to avoid it sometimes, or maybe just, you know, there's a lack of understanding of how we can change something, because you can't really talk ourselves into something or out of something just by the power of our conscious thought. It's such a small, tiny bit, isn't it, of the vast majority of how we think.
Yeah, and I think that's it. It's exactly that, isn't it? It's recognizing that emotion and dealing with that feeling instead of the impact of that feeling. You know, like I've spoken to a few people before, and I've asked them, and they've explained the situation when I was coaching, and they said I was really emotional, I was really angry. And I said, well, is anger the emotion, or is it the reaction to the emotion? You know, what made you angry, for example? You know, and they go, oh, and when you get down to it, there was some resentment maybe, or there was some embarrassment or some envy. And I'm like, okay, so that was the emotion. So what can we do about it? We can talk about that, right? We can't talk about being angry. Angry, you just have to wait that out to a degree, you know? So I think it can be really helpful, as you say, getting to the bottom of what emotions you're feeling. It's a really good point. So for those that aren't sure, what is tapping or EFT, and in what way can it help people?
Best way to understand tapping, honestly, is just to try it first, as you did, because it is odd when you describe it. but essentially it came about because it was discovered And it was discovered by a psychologist in America many decades ago, 1980, who began to work with clients and felt that after a while of working with some people, particularly one was phobic, not getting results, and really was interested in alternative ways of working with our systems. And, you know, we are energy. When we are literally 99.99999% energy made up of little particles and atoms, even though we don't really remember this, but we are energy. And so he was interested in fusing that with his sort of cognition elements, working, you know, the psyche. And by chance, it did cure his long-term patient almost instantly.
Wow.
And that has always stuck with me because it just shows that tapping has this quite amazing ability to work really instantaneously and very, very quickly. And how it actually works is you are literally tapping mostly on your face and upper body, ends of meridian lines. And meridian lines, you know, people may have heard from acupuncture, are really sort of the body's sort of hidden, invisible energetic system. And when you tap on those in specific places and you bring in certain trauma, cognition, the way it is, the way you feel, it has this very unique effect, which is to dissipate the unhelpful, as we've been talking about, the unhelpful or negative emotional attachments that we have to particular events and particular beliefs. So it's kind of like part psychology, part energy. So often it's called energy psychology. You could say I'm an energy psychologist as well.
I study psychotherapy
and psychoanalysis. I'm always been interested in human behavior.
Same.
This is just a cool way of making things happen fast. I think that's the trick with tapping.
Yeah, I mean, I love what you say about how fast it works, because it really does. Like the day I had EFT or tapping for the first time, I slept like I hadn't slept in a long, long time. And I woke up almost a bit like concerned. I was like, whoa, what's just happened? Like I've slept the entire night, you know? And that was interesting to me, because that is a real instantaneous, that's been a long struggle for me, sleep and stuff. So it was really interesting. I mean, you're talking to the converted here. I mean, a few weeks ago, I would have sat and listened and I would have found it all very interesting, but I might not have bought into it quite the way I do now. It's a very, very powerful way of dealing with a lot of stuff, really. Yeah. And what I went for was really quite serious. So, you know, it's not just I'm scared of, I don't know, moths or something, although I'm sure it works.
Well, I was scared of dogs. And I had, for years and years, I was scared of dogs. I talk about this a bit in my book. And I had sort of got over it a bit with, you know, mindset work and coaching, as you know. The only thing that really had a massive effect on me was this very short tapping session that I did. Really? And I was like, wow, you know, wow, my goodness. And, you know, once you've tried it, it's quite difficult to go back. A lot of people are like, oh my goodness, I'm addicted to it. But, you know, it's a really healthy addiction to have. And we are that way inclined, actually, to be quite addicted to things as human beings. So if you can find things that are quick and work that make you feel good, why not?
I think there's a lot of, like, addiction and love have a lot of the same hallmarks. You know, I think they do have a lot of the same hallmarks. And I think that addiction has this sort of negative connotation to it, like you're doing too much of it or it's destroying you in some way. Whereas I think love, it's a lot easy to accept, right? So I think that I now have a love for tapping. I haven't done it by myself yet. But I thought I might wait for someone's book to come out before I did that. That's what I thought. I thought it'd be like the manual. So I'll get that when that comes out. But we'll move on to that in a little while. Would you mind speaking about sort of the specific evidence behind the power of EFT? So just for those that love a bit of science.
Yeah. So there's been a ton of sort of really double blind clinical trial, you know, the good stuff done around EFT and tapping. Many of those papers are just available if you Google it. The things that I've always found really interesting about it is that, you know, it is science backed. It works with your body and brain. And one of the main things that it has found in terms of stats, I guess, there was a study done. It was by, it was a French study, in 2019. And that proved that with a bunch of people who were trying it in double blind trials, that it was able to reduce stress, which is identified by the, you know, the cortisol running through you, the fight or flight response, by 43%.
Wow.
And that is pretty amazing. There's been loads of amazing research like this on what it can do. It was increasing happiness by 30%. So many of these amazing stats. But I suppose in terms of the proof of it, which I like proof. I used to work in news back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I do like facts and stats and things that work. And, you know, it's really about a part of your brain called the amygdala, which is responsible for your fight or flight or freeze or faint response as a human being. It works quite, I won't go into loads of detail, but it works to essentially shut down the response in your nervous system that puts you into anxiety and stress and alert. Wow. So on a neurological level, that's how it works. And that's what they found. On a deeper level, if you want to go one step further, which I always like to, there's like this non-science bit, which is cool, that allows you to feel this sort of shift in your body. I've done this for a long time, but many people say to me, whoa, I feel it as a shift in my body. I can't put my finger on it. And that bit is, for me, just that feeling of love, like you're saying, like connectedness, some kind of washing over of like, whoa, what is this energy? That is really powerful. So yeah, I like the stats, but I think it can go a lot further.
Whole
tapping.
Well, there was definitely a real spiritual side to it that I got a lot of comfort from. I've never necessarily considered myself a spiritual person as such, but I think I am beginning to realize the importance of it and actually how many questions it answers that seemed unanswerable before until you look at it through a spiritual lens. And I found that giving me a lot of freedom.
Nice.
You know, a lot of freedom. That's what it's given me. And that's what I seek, really. I'm not someone looking for an easy life. You know, I come from a very painful upbringing with domestic violence and physical abuse. So if you can imagine, that's altered the way I perceive the world a little bit. And as a grown up who's now got children, well, I say a grown up, I never agreed to that, but apparently I am, you know, as a father never myself. Agree. No, well, that's it. Never signed anything.
never agreed to that.
No, but it has given me a nice tool that I'm really, really feel sort of happy to have found. But I mean, one of the things I found most powerful about it was the affirmations. You know, the affirmations. I've always sort of had a funny relationship around affirmations, because in the past, the way it's been shown to me is basically, cut a long story short, lie to yourself in the mirror, you know, stand there and tell yourself things that you don't really believe, you know. And I'm not sure how helpful that's been. I found that in the past. But what I loved about the affirmations in the context of that show we used for the tapping that I did was that they hit the nail on the head. They were the things that were causing me the most pain. And I was asking myself whether I could accept those things. And then I was almost challenging those things within that tapping. And it was just like, it was the real conversation that I needed to have with myself, really. So question is, what is the importance of those affirmations?
Oh, this is like my favorite topic. Massive part of my book has a whole chapter. I have been using affirmations since I personally was about 7 or 8. using them on my mirror. Affirmations are great, but like you've just said, if you are lying to yourself, you are effectively re-imprinting and reminding your memories and all of the part of you that is like this kind of Rolodex of information, just going back and trying to go, yeah, I remember this. Bad stuff. Your mind, technically speaking, neuroscientists would say, does not know the difference between something imagined and something that's happened. That to me is massive.
Yeah.
If we were taught this, we would be entering life in a completely different paradigm. And affirmations, if you're saying them and you're not believing it with your full core, you are actually reminding yourself. I don't want to freak people out about this because it's still useful, right? I sound very like, listen to this, this is dangerous. They're great. They're fantastic, right? You can still use them, but you can make them more effective and you can make them yours when you
weaponize them.
Yeah.
Weaponize them. Weaponize my affirmation.
Yeah. You know, but you do, but you know, they've got massive of recent years, haven't they? Positive affirmations. And, you know, what I have found using them, because my offshoot of tapping and EFT is actually rapid tapping. Most of that is around affirmations and making them more effective so that you, in all cores of your being, all your belief system, your subconscious mind is aligned to what you're actually saying.
Yes.
When you believe it, like you're saying, there's a truth to it. There's an authenticity to it. You get behind it. And on a scientific level, your brain is biased to negative, you know, past experiences. So you've got to dislodge some of those and create ones that go with your affirmation if you really want to, you know, manifest at warp speed and feel good and, you know, really hit home with what you want to hit home, you know, what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, helpful and permanent change will really only come from a truthful place. You know, like that person that, you know, lack of a better term, that has, say, struggled with their weight their whole life and looks in the mirror and repeats an affirmation that's potentially not true. Essentially, they could be chipping away at their own self, like, worth and their own self-belief and their own self-trust. But secondly, they also take away the sort of the need for work as well. Because every affirmation comes with almost like an agreement, right? Of I am going to do this, you know, I'm going to do these actions and this is what's going to happen as those actions. I'm going to stick to it and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I love it. Like, you're right. It has to be the truth. And I think that was what hit home for me, was when I was saying these affirmations, they were words I didn't want to say, but I knew I had to say because they were the truth. And I think that at a lot of times when we're dealing with people as coaches, we can't change their past. We can't change things for them. The real goal is to put them in a place where they can learn to accept what's happened so they can then move forward with that understanding. And I think that's what that gave me. Mm. It gave me that truth that I was then able to accept. And then the tapping sort of just sped up the process, you know, and it made it feel like it was a real... It was a real situation. It really was. It really was.
It's lovely. That deep acceptance and acknowledgement, which I think is the first step in any change or transformation.
Yeah.
Not the only step, but certainly the key step.
That awareness. Yeah, creating that awareness is definitely the first step to it, because once you're aware of it, you can no longer ignore it or trick yourself or lie to yourself. You just go, yeah, that's what that is. And it's just like, then we can talk about accepting it. But until you become aware of it, I mean, have you got like any really great stories about yourself or about other people where you've really felt like the tapping and the affirmations really come together and sort of blown your socks off? Like, you must have loads like that.
Yeah, like so many. I actually struggled to sort of think about which ones to include in the book, which ones not to. And I mean, even of my own, you know, probably one of my most painful moments in life, two painful moments in life where I've used it. You know, one, my is my dad. He had cancer most of my life, and he died when I was quite young, in my early, very, very young, sort of when I was away at uni. And, you know, that was one where I used it for sort of trauma. And that was really about going, what is my subconscious feeling about this, as well as just my conscious mind? And then another one, I mean, traumatic, I suppose, was when I, and this is how I actually start the book, and I don't really talk about this that much, but when my marriage broke down, I got married when I was really young, because, you know, from Cornwall, people tend to get married quite young.
They do.
And, so we did. And then we went away to uni, and I was married for a long time, nearly 10 years. But fast forward, this is sort of like a 28-year-old, then a 7-year-old child as a single mum in a big media job, alone, with all these responsibilities, you know, and suddenly a complete life change. That tapping absolutely saved my life then, because I was able to like accept how I was really feeling and say it out loud, reduce the negative charge it was holding over me, actually, and all the shame and all the stuff that comes from that kind of thing. And the tapping, you know, your affirmations at first are just reality, that is coming to terms with reality, but then you can shift them into what you want to create. And that's what I did. And then I started completely recreating my life, my identity, actually. And then you have these as like your real companions, and you tap them in.
Mate, you got a secret weapon, you have, haven't you? You really do. Yeah. That was one of the best explanations I've ever heard about. That was fantastic. That really was. That makes total sense. You know, that breaks it down in a nice methodical way for anybody that is struggling to understand sort of its value, its tapping value, because that's a real life situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't get a lot realer than that. Not really. You know, you know, what all that you described, and to say that sort of broke you free from it. That is, and I mean, we have to be realistic. We will always carry aspects of our trauma with us. And I'm not sure that's not a good thing, to be honest. I think sometimes you need to, you know, that lesson that comes, that difficult, tough lesson that's attached to that trauma, which you're not always ready to hear. But once once you do know it, it is important to keep it there and remind yourself of it sometimes, I think. Yeah. Love that. Thank you for sharing that. That was not lovely to hear, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about trauma, but I mean, what impact can tapping have on trauma recovery? Because that is the context in which I used it for. And I won't bore the listeners with my history again, because they've probably heard it too many times at this point. So, but I mean, what impact can tapping have really on trauma recovery?
Well, you know, it's huge, because the trauma, you know, that trauma is the nanoseconds in which something hits you, in my opinion, on all levels of your consciousness, right? So it's kind of when something happens that's traumatic, it seeps into your being. Mm-hmm. In your senses, you know, what you see, what you hear, what you lodge quite quickly, what you store away because you can't deal with it, and also what happens in your spirit, you know, aka your energy. All that stuff happens in nanoseconds, in a moment of trauma. And in that moment of trauma, we place a meaning onto it. Good, bad, terrible, whatever, based on what we know, where we're from, and our surroundings and our environment. The really interesting thing is that what I've come to learn deeply is that all experiences are actually neutral. Very hard to hear, but they are. We assign the meaning. We can't escape the meaning. There's nothing wrong with the meaning, but it is assigned in that nanosecond. And then it is reinforced with this friction energy, what I would call this kind of resonance. Yeah. And so what tapping is incredible at is it doesn't need to necessarily ask you why or analyze it or go over it. What it allows you to do is to go in and look at all those different aspects, you would call it an EFT aspects, which is how has that traumatic event attached itself to you. Then tapping reduces that kind of emotional imbalance, that energetic imbalance, and all the things that have come in through no fault of our own. It's just life. But it has this effect where the memory's still there. Yeah. You can still, like you're saying, identify that that was traumatic, but it doesn't hit you in the same way. So I'll go and work with someone. I've done very deep trauma work with some people who didn't even expect to do it with me, right? So lots of people come to me for, you know, the next level. You know, I work with a lot of leaders and big jobs and things like that. Trauma happens to us all. So I've worked through abuse, domestic abuse, sexual abuse, loss. And the dream of mine is that everyone understands how they can use tapping to reduce the pain that's in their energy. So for example, I'll give you a tangible example. I'll go through with someone an event. They will be physically shaking, can't say it. It's too traumatic to go there. I don't need to ask them anything. I'll tap with them. I'll lead them through. They'll get to a point where they can tell me. And then by the end of the experience of what we do in a session, they will be able to say it without crying, and they will never cry like that again.
Wow. Wow.
So for me, it's, you know, miraculous.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of what you just said there was just unreal. I mean, did you say, I mean, to make sure I got it right, that all experience is neutral? Is that what you said? Because that's a heck of a thing. I love that. You're right.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a brilliant way to look at it because, you know, like you say, like that's the bit that people aren't always able to do. And that is to take their responsibility in that moment or their accountability in that moment of what's happening. You know, like it's easy to say to people, oh, you drew that into you. But I'll tell you what, if you're having a hard time, you do not want to hear that. that's the sort of thing that will get you a punch in the face. Isn't it? Yeah, they're not ready for that quite at that point. But like, to a certain degree, it's true. It's like, you know, we are allowing certain things to sort of ruminate within us, you know? And I think it's that rumination, it's that proverbial touching the wound, like stop touching it, you know? Yeah. And yeah, I love that the experiences that we attach to it. I never had it been anyone told me it like that before. Like, you're like a Yoda. Yeah. Like a Yoda. All that wisdom.
Oh, I don't want that. Yoda.
Are you levitating right now?
See Yoda. Thanks very much.
Only from a wisdom perspective.
On many levels, I don't want that. But you know, the funny thing is it's like this, you know, I say in the book, it's like you have to come to everything curiously, don't you? You know, yeah, people would say expo in this or whatever, but there is this bit of me which is just really like, do you know what? When you experience something, there's a meaning in that. Take what you've experienced and see if you can put it into the world in some way, in your own way. Like, there is this interesting tapestry, right, where you're like, that's happened to me. The way I look at it now is like, I've got to be vulnerable and speak about those things.
Yeah.
Somehow, because there's some way in which that's going to affect or help or challenge someone else.
Yeah.
To feel better, to, yeah, connect with themselves deeper.
Because that's what it is, isn't it? It's like, I have a program that I call the Super Self Program, and it's like, it's the best, but sort of, I almost feels a bit like a hack in a way, because I don't have the answers for other people, just like you don't. Yeah. But what we're able to do and what we're trained to do is sit with people and get them to say the answers out loud.
Because
most of the time, the reason they can't do what they want to do or what they think will make them happy is because it's scary.
Yeah.
and fear will stop you dead. in any forward movement, it will stop you dead, you know? And I think that that's the trick, is that people always have the answers. There's this lovely story, a proverb I heard once. I've never known anyone to do it, so I don't know if it's true, but apparently when someone's stung by a stinging nettle, the leaf that stings you, if you scrunch up that leaf and rub the inside of the leaf on you, it will get rid of the sting. And I think that's like people, you know, like we have these painful things that happen, and that release of energy that that enables us to move forward is within us. It's just that we're so much wanting to hold on to it for whatever reason that we, you know, it's scary, or we feel like we need it, or we feel like it's given us some energy that we might need. But actually, when we let it go, freedom is the other side of that.
Yes, you know? I like that. I like that, because attachment is the feeling that I have around emotions. It's like, it feels a bit like a sting. There is like, or it feels a bit like, you know, if you're out and like one of those ticks attaches itself to you, and you're like, uh-oh, I've got to carefully remove this, or, you know.
Yeah.
It's a bit like that. And there is that sense of like emotions attach themselves to you in any experience in life. So it's quite empowering that we can, you know, take it off.
But they get stuck. I think that's what it is. It's like anger can get stuck. Anger is helpful in certain situations until it outstays its welcome, you know? And I think like the emotions that we have are all necessary. We shouldn't deny ourselves of those emotions. But like, you know, I meet people that are feeling sad, so they listen to sad music. Or, you know, it's like, but what they know they should do, they should probably go and put on a comedian and make themselves laugh, but they don't. They want to stay with the sadness for a bit longer. And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you know you are doing it. You know, like you are staying in that on purpose. And there might be a reason for that. Maybe it's, you need to search out that sort of, you know, headspace a bit longer. But yeah, I think what you're saying is right. You know, we have to learn to know when the right time to let go of that emotion is, I suppose.
Yeah, totally. And we don't know that, you know. That's the funny thing about that, isn't it? It's that could be a very unconscious, subconscious reaction that is nothing to do with us going, yeah, I want to get out of this pain right now. It's like there is still going to be something, you know, 95% of us is subconscious, that the amount of thoughts that we have a day are loads, and only 5% we actually know about.
Yeah.
So we got to let ourselves off the hook for that, because if we're trying to stay in pain, it's like, we don't really know it, but we've also not been taught how to remodel or deal with it properly.
That's right.
Not enough to talk about it, unfortunately, or sit with it. We've got to do other techniques. And yeah, tapping while you actually cry is really good, because you're releasing that pain, that anger.
I tapped, then cried. Is that right?
That's usually the way it goes, actually.
Yeah. I had an experience where when I was younger, my father, when he used to be violent, I got to the point where I withheld tears, and then it became a habit moving forward. But what that means is that I spent my whole life having feelings where I wanted to cry and just not letting myself. And that just stays inside. The problem is, when I do cry, it's like, uh-oh. You know, it's like it just all comes out, you know? But it feels amazing. It does. It feels amazing. And that's it's something I'm going to continue to work on, I think, because it can't be good to hold tears in like I do. Not ideal. It's like Chandler Bing, you know, from Friends. Yeah. You ever see Friends? Where he finally cries, and then he can't stop it.
but you will stop.
Yeah, I just feel like it's something I'm having to experience, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm looking at it as something, as the next part of my own self-development, is exploring that part of me that I've been sort of not exploring because I, for whatever reason, you know, that's what tapping has done. You know, it's really sort of, coin your term, it's tapped in.
Yeah. It's tapped in. Tap it out, tap it in.
So last couple of questions is, do you know sort of what the most common challenges are that people suffer with that tapping can help with?
Stress. Stress is a bundle for everything. And if you stress less, you can manifest more.
Love that. Nice simple answer. You're right though. It is like, it's stress, isn't it? It's stress, and that sort of captures a lot of things, but you're right. It's that it's that stress that we don't want to stay stuck in a system in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
What does emotional freedom mean to you?
It is, for me, the freedom comes from knowing how to play with your emotions. Because when you know how to experience emotions healthily and not be afraid of them, then you are free, because they are just a part of you on a scale. Like, there can be a scale of, I operate on a scale in rapid tapping where it's like an imaginary scale of your frequency, right? How you feel. And down the bottom, you could feel terrible, minus 10. And then you could feel like, meh, on zero. But you could feel like plus 10, whoa, feeling amazing. We oscillate between all of those emotions, but essentially it's the same scale. It's the same thing. It's all the same thing. It's like, there's this concept, law of polarity, which basically means that everything is the same. It's just a different expression of it, like hot and cold. It's just the same thing. It's temperature. It's just a different expression of it.
Love it.
For me, that's what that is.
Yeah, that's a lovely explanation. Well, nice. You're like, you're a poet. A philosopher. let's talk about your book to finish. I mean, this is a big deal, right? I'm quite excited about it. Tell me about how it came in to fruition, and, you know, when it's coming out, and things that people should look forward to.
Yeah, nice. No one's asked me how it came into fruition yet, but that is cool in and of itself. So, like many of us, I was like, I know I'll write a book at some point. I didn't really know what it would be, but I kind of been writing bits in my notes on my phone for like years. I never looked at any of that. I just sat and wrote the book in basically in full. But, you know, I definitely, that was a manifestation of mine, because I had done a lot of the work that I do in visioning. I do a lot with vision, manifesting that, how you lodge particular results or positive outcomes, let's say, in your mind to come in. And so I had done that. I had kind of put that as a thing for the year. And I went away to Marrakesh just before the pandemic, actually. And I got trapped there and just got out just before everything shut down. I was holding a retreat there. No one could come out. Oh. And then I just basically was feeling like, oh, you're going to write a book. You're going to do this book very keenly. And I was like, oh, okay. Went back home and got an email. As soon as I got back home, I remember it really vividly. I screamed. I was in the bath and I read it. And it was from a publisher saying, we'd love you to write a book, whatever you want.
Well, that just came out of the blue, did it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'd written it all down, you know, in my journal. I journal a lot. And I'd written all this stuff down. I was like, that's going to happen. It did. And then actually, I didn't go with them, because then in the end, and it would have been a completely different book, then in the end, I turned that down, and then blah, blah, blah. And then a few other publishers were interested, and a few agents. And then in the end, yeah, we went with Hachette, who were cool, Little Brown, great, got it, totally understood that it could be a cool new thing for everyone. And then that's it. Then did the book, Tapping In, yeah.
That is crazy. I love that story. That's nuts. Like that you come back, and that is proper manifestation, that.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I've never mentioned that before, but I think people would be interested in that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like to come back, and it's almost like the universe was like, just don't get rid of that foot just yet. You know, that's a great story. So, I mean, what should people look forward to about the book? What's in it?
Yeah, so I think the main thing I've tried to do is create sort of a part blueprint kind of actual tangible stuff. So there's lots of hacks in it, you know, reminders, routines, lots of routines to tap. A lot of people are sort of not sure what to say. And I go into themes that actually are I suppose I work with a lot of people and a lot of groups, and it's the things that most affect people. And when I've done tapping work with someone in particular areas or themes, where I've seen like the best transformations and results. So I put those in for people to do. Main thing is like, there's a bit of my story in it. The main thing is really allowing people to take it up for themselves in their own hands. That's my big mission, really.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to somebody. Not everyone can afford to do that. You don't have to do that. I'm a practitioner, but you don't have to come and see me and money to do it. You can use tapping just like breath work or meditation. So I'm trying to make it really accessible and unbamboozle what it is. Essentially, no one owns it. It's energy. It's a technique. We have our fingers for it, right?
I think you explain it in such a lovely way as well, because I think people don't really buy knowledge. They buy the person who's translating the knowledge, I think. And I think that the way that you have spoken today and the way you've explained things, I think your book's going to be a very exciting book to read. So I'm really looking forward to it. But I just wondered, because I know you're tight on time, did you have time to show any sort of like quick tapping techniques that can help people with their self-development before you go, or have you got to rush off?
Yeah, of course. I could do a little like, I suppose what I would call the three-step in doing like a daily tap. So I think of tapping as like micro macro,
right?
You know, the trauma stuff, you know, big T, little T.
Mm-hmm.
You do it for the deep stuff, but you can also do it like every day.
Yeah.
You want to feel a bit like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. So I can show you kind of what I'm going to be putting in the book for that.
Yeah, that'd be great if you didn't mind.
Okay. So, way it works is it's like three things that you say,
mm-hmm.
and then you fill in the blanks yourself for what they are.
Right.
But for now, we can do it together. So maybe you could give the how you're feeling, and then we can just try it.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Yeah.
So you can just get both your hands, one on top of the other, and just place them like over your heart. Your heart's on your left, but I kind of do it just in the middle of your chest. Yeah. And take a deep breath in through your nose and exhale out through your mouth. Good. And then with your hands, just keep them crossed, but then move them out so it's a bigger cross, like across your whole chest, until you reach these sore spots. So these are a couple of inches down from your collarbone.
Yeah.
But it sort of sticks out if you hunch. Go down a couple of inches and find these sore spots. They should feel like tender when you find them.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So massage there with a bit of like medium firm pressure. Just notice how your body is changing. Notice your breath. That's good. And then just say it after me, basically.
Right now, I feel.
And then how do you feel?
Hopeful.
Hopeful. Yeah. Good. And then add this word and just see what your gut reaction is, because
it's a new day.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then add this. And it is possible for me to.
It's possible for me to. Be happy.
Be happy.
Yeah.
That's good.
That is.
So you can notice that change in your system. And then we can just do a quick seal it in. So go through these points with me. So in between your eyebrows.
Yep.
That feels real for you, right? That it's a new day and you can feel happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's say, I feel happy.
I feel happy.
That's good. And then side of the eyes, I feel happy.
I feel happy.
Under the eyes, it's a new day.
It's a new day.
Under the nose, I feel happy.
I feel happy.
And the chin, I feel happy.
I feel happy.
Yeah, smile here. It's good. And then down to the collarbones and heart, again, tapping all around. I feel happy.
I feel happy.
Good.
There's an uncontrollable smile coming over my face here.
Yeah. And then like hold back where we started on your heart. And again, just take a deep breath in through your nose. Exhale through your mouth. And then, yeah, what do you notice?
Yeah, I feel lighter for sure. And I don't say that like in a whimmy way. I mean, like, yeah, what I my affirmations and my feelings obviously personal to me, but like I've been struggling with the allowance of allowing myself to be happy recently, and that is very helpful. And I mean that, it genuinely is.
That's great.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I was going to say, I give myself permission to feel happy.
Yeah.
And sometimes I use that because it's us doing exactly that, permitting ourselves, allowing ourselves to feel our natural state.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's what I'm terrible at. Like, trauma can create sometimes a feeling of dread that never goes away. That whole like, oh, what's going to go wrong today type feeling, you know, and sometimes I can be guilty of that. I have to watch that. I have to be the gatekeeper of my mind and stuff like that. It's really helpful. So thank you for that. That was lovely.
Yeah, nice.
And I hope everybody gets a bit from that. Listen, it's been absolutely amazing speaking to you today. I wish we had longer, but that's not the way the world works, even though you're in Cornwall.
Yeah.
But tell people where they can find you, what's next for you, and all of the social platforms and websites and things you've got going on.
Yeah. So the book is available to pre-order now. So that's cool. It's out on September 1st. That's probably the first thing to do. Go and grab that. You can get it off Amazon, or you can get it off any bookstore now. So tapping in with a very long subheading, manifest the life you want with the transformative power of tapping.
Yeah.
And then you can head to my website, poppydelbridge.com. I'm really a lot on Instagram. So I do a free Instagram every Monday for people to start their week right. And I do that at Rapid Tapping. So Rapid Tapping is sort of my movement of tapping.
Is that all tapping as well that you're doing?
Yeah. Oh, so I do that for free every Monday at 11:11 a.m. for about 10 minutes. So lots of people join there and just start their Monday in a positive.
That's amazing. I'm going to do that next Monday.
Yeah, join it.
I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will you still be in Cornwall then?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Cornwall for a little bit longer.
Oh, lovely. Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. I've really, really loved this. Thank you so much. And yeah, I look forward to reading your book, and I'll see you on Monday, I suppose.
Brilliant. Thank you for having me.
So that's all from me for this episode. Thanks again to my podcast producer, Charlie from Chatter Podcast, and I'll catch you next time for another episode of the Self-Development Podcast.